Hi, I'm Derek Thompson. Does the news feel overwhelming to you these days? There's a pandemic, then there's inflation, and also this crypto thing? It's way too much to keep track of. That's why my podcast, Plain English, breaks down the news twice a week. Short, sweet, and surprising, it's everything you need to know with key insights you won't forget. Listen to Plain English free on Spotify.
My Eagle enthusiasts, it's Fairway Rollin' presented by FanDuel. Major season is here and you can get in on all the long drives, big putts, and major moments with FanDuel. Check out live PGA Tour bets like longest drive, round leaders, matchups, birdie or better, and more. Plus, track every shot in the app and watch select par three holes while you place your bets. Download the app today and bet with FanDuel, the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 years old or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this golf podcast unlike any other. Oh, yes, a Thursday semi-live edition of Fairway Rollin', U.S. Open style. This is the golf podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I am your starter, Joe House, PGA Tour correspondent, boots on the ground, U.S. Open boots on the ground, Nathan Hubbard. We were out on the golf course today, my friend. We have some reactions. We had some experiences. We saw some things. We saw some golfers. We saw some vodka. You saw a little gin. It was a wonderful day out there today at the country club. So let's go ahead, throw a peg in the ground and talk about it a little bit, buddy.
House, is this a good course to be at, or is it just a good course to watch on TV?
Well, it seems like it's a wonderful course to play. Every single person that's played it says so.
Big smiles.
It seems like it's a wonderful course if you can be inside the ropes. There was some media walking along, some embedded media along with the groups. Perhaps the very best opportunity we had on the golf course today to watch golf up live in person was on the seventh hole, when the ropes guys, by the way, we'll have a rant about the ropes people.
The ropes people have a little work to
do. There is something about, yes, it is one of those jobs in life. But that's an aside.
Rent-a-cops.
We managed to enter the seventh fairway behind the group of Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele and Hideki. And we were able to kind of linger in the fairway a little bit. So much so that we watched maybe from, 75 yards away.
Yes.
Maybe a tiny bit further. Each of those guys hit their approach shots, but really watching Rory hit his approach shot into seven that he then turned into, converted into a birdie that gave him the sole lead of the golf tournament. Now, this was for him his 16th hole because he started his day off of number 10, but a high water mark for the Fairway Rollin' podcast boys, right?
It was a moment for you, given how high you've been on Rory. And look, if you take away the day, he's second in putting. And so he has continued what happened at the Canadian Open last weekend. He continued it forward. if you're worried, you look and say, he didn't hit it great off the tee. And he's 17th in approach. It's about all we can hope for on this course because, look, I felt a little moisture in those fairways under our feet.
Oh, I'm so glad that's where you ended up with more after you started with, felt some moisture. Thank God. Yes, I agree with you.
This is going to be the easiest day by far. And it looks to me like it's already getting tougher. I mean, there is a split of almost, it's not going to be a full shot, but it's going to be 3/4 of a shot between the morning and the afternoon. And we noticed that it was kind of a dome when we showed up. It was cooler than we thought it was going to be. It was cloudy. There was no wind. But by the time the afternoon wave kicked off, that wind was a factor. I mean, we saw Phil on the par 3/6 really have to think about what he was doing. They were staring at the trees.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about Phil. The way our day played out at the country club, we followed two golfers more than any other golfers. We caught several holes of Rory on his back nine, which was the front nine. And we caught several holes of Phil. And the one thing that I'd like to say on this podcast, after I got the opportunity to share some time with our good friend Bill Simmons on his podcast yesterday, is that Bill Simmons might owe me, I mean, we'll put this out there to all the birdie buddies, the par saving pals. He might owe me $1 million. I mean, I did say on his podcast that if he lent me $3.1 million last night, that I could turn it into an immediate $1 million return on investment there. And that transaction did not go through. Phil Mickelson is going to miss the cut. He's going to miss the cut. Really, the gamble, the bet now is how much is he going to miss the cut by? But the interesting thing, Nate Dogg, is it won't be because of anything untoward occurring from the fans.
There was some untoward comments on the course.
Yes, there were.
And
we heard them.
The contrast between the support that Phil got versus the support that Rory got, I think it was 4 times louder for Rory. I think there were 4 times as many people for Rory. It felt like Phil was a zoo exhibit and people were coming out more out of curiosity than anything. He had the smattering of support. He also had some hecklers. I mean, our first hole, watching him come up that fairway, we heard a woman scream, "Phil, I used to love you." And then we had another guy screaming, you know, the Gordon Gekko. Greed is good, Phil.
Greed is good.
Greed is good. And it was eerily quiet as people were just sort of watching. No one rebutted. No one said, "Hey, Phil, we love you," to try to drown it out. There were people taking their shots and those shots were landing. When he came to that sixth hole, we saw that tee shot. There was a lot of applause. But it didn't feel like Kiowa, for crying out loud.
Well, nothing's going to feel like Kiowa. I mean, that's not the benchmark for whether or not Phil has support.
Yeah.
I thought overwhelming.
He immediately 4-putt, by the way, after that.
Well, that's the karma. That's, you know, that's everything. We don't even have to be silly about it. He doesn't play competitive golf. He hasn't played any competitive golf. Of course he 4-putted.
He's going to finish dead last
putt
in putting
these
today.
Greens. Of course he's going to finish dead last in putting. That's exactly right. But I would say like that corridor, the sixth hole, it's a par 3 and it goes right by this American Express hospitality venue where a lot of people were posted up. We had a good opportunity to spend a little time in there ourselves today. But that when he hit his ball, he had the best tee ball of his group between he, Shane Lowry and Louis Oosthuizen.
Yeah.
And it looked like, okay, you know, we watched him 3-putt on number 5, the very reachable par 4 that he, you know, smashed a drive. For him, it was a hook, not a slice, over to the right side and then chopped to the middle of the green and then 3-putted, blah, blah, blah. But the 4-putt on 6 lets you know exactly how dialed out he is. He ain't dialed in, he's dialed out.
I also think the ratio of thumbs ups to footsteps on the course is way down. He's acknowledging the crowds, but he's probably only popping 1 or 2 per hole right now. He looks different, doesn't he?
He does look different.
Thinner. But like a little gaunt almost.
We want to be careful about
filling in a narrative based on how we've been talking about him for a bit. At least I'll try to be careful about it. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to say, you know, it's all of these factors that the Saudi experience are weighing on him and it's visible. But we've been at golf tournaments and watched him play, and there is, nobody can argue this, a lack of enthusiasm. He also appeared to me, to my own eyes, tired.
Yes.
But I don't think I'm filling in blanks with that.
I don't think you are. He's wearing the stress of these last couple of months. And you know, he didn't say a lot in the press conference this week, but he did directly address the fact that he's been working on himself. He's been taking a lot of time. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. I think there's probably more still to come. We still feel, you and I do, I think that there may be another shoe to drop.
I don't want to keep, well, there might be more than one additional shoe to drop when it comes to Phil and the stories that are going to come out, we anticipate. I want to kind of end the Phil portion of this conversation with this question to you. Do you think that he can ever play competitive golf again? Like, I don't know why he's here.
It's his 52nd birthday.
Why is he playing this venue at this time?
I think it's the logos on his shirt and hat and bag that are the telltale sign. I think the driving force behind this shift to live golf has been, I want to be a brand. I want to fully monetize my own brand. And to do that, he's got to be out there. I think there's somebody behind the scenes, who may not be wrong, by the way, who's telling him that the news cycle here is going to wash out through time. And at some point, people are going to appreciate the jump in the air that is that silhouette logo that he's wearing everywhere. But he's got to stay active. Before all of this went down, before Kiowa, we had the whole coffee for wellness thing. And you and I were joking that he was a marketer moonlighting as a golfer, right?
Yes.
He's back to that. He had a brilliant moment in the sun at Kiowa. And that's probably it. And that's okay. He's 52 today. Like, 52-year-old guys are supposed to suck at golf.
I mean, I suck at golf.
There you go.
That it fits. He's still probably a little bit better than me.
Yeah. But I think this is all, he's just got to be out there and present to fully capture the value of what he wants. And now, listen, what we have seen over the last 2 weeks is it's gotten personal for the guys on both sides.
Yeah, it has.
And it's personal for Phil at this point. Like, he's got a burning something to make this work. There's a whole lot of failure that sits on his shoulders if this doesn't come through. And as we have heard more and more on the course and the buzz in the media tent about who's going to jump ship, you also start to understand that some of the comments that were targeted at Phil back when he first had the blow up and the Shipnuck interview came out and he sent out the statement and basically disappeared for a few months, some of the comments from players were not that they disagreed with the decision that Phil was making, but that they were pissed at him for blowing their opportunity to go get some money. I mean, Pat Perez gave some pretty pointed Phil is an idiot comment. And Pat Perez is going to Saudi.
Yeah. Well, and that's its own animal that we can either choose into or not.
I say all that just because he has been wearing not only his own stuff.
Yes, that's right.
But that of his peers. And clearly today, he is not beloved out there. He's not beloved. He has more support probably than I expected.
Yep.
But there were plenty of massholes.
We were. Yeah, you're right.
Doing their thing. But more so than that, it wasn't just guys trying to take a cheap shot. Like, I will remember for a while that woman saying, I used to love you, out loud. Like, she couldn't help herself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that I was struck by, he is a celebrity.
No doubt.
Like, he's the star of a show.
He is.
So that he's, you know, in terms of eyeballs everywhere he went.
Yeah.
The cameras were up.
Yeah.
People were walking. Big surges in terms of the crowd traffic.
It's Hollywood Hogan to me now.
It really is.
He's got the weird facial hair. He's dressed in all black. He's taken the heel turn. You kind of know that in 5 years, he's going to be back in the world of good. It's just going to take a little while for people to get used to this.
I guess so. Well, I... too much airtime, probably, except for...
It's the story. I mean, look, there's a couple of other stories out there today. I mean,
we saw one. Your pal Joel Damon,
yes,
put out a round. And the funny thing coming into this, two funny things. He, in his typically understated way, talked about the likelihood of him having a great U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And something's clearly fit his eye, Nathan.
Well, he's third in approach, fourth off the tee, first tee to green right now as these rounds are winding up. I mean, he shot 300 today and he's middle of the pack in putting. So that's a good sign for a guy who is actually a pretty good putter.
Yeah, we watched him putt on his final hole, which was the ninth hole today. And yep. The putt that he made there was an eminently makeable birdie. And he gave it a good run and just hung out a little bit. But he looked pretty enthusiastic.
It felt pretty stress-free. Five birdies on that course is a pretty impressive run. There are a few opportunities out there. We saw it. Five is playing under par,
yeah,
and the two par fives, 8 and 14, are playing under par. Five is that 315-yard par four that guys are going right at.
Yeah, so they have to. It's also the long, the slowest hole on the entire golf course. Like, they have to let groups hit up so that, while the guys, right, are putting, it just took forever.
And that's something to talk about with this course. You don't see it on TV, but I was just struck how many of the holes cross. I mean, on almost every hole, a player, when he puts out, has to cross over another hole,
yeah,
to get somewhere else. So the spectator traffic is just, it's like Boston rush hour.
Yeah, it was for the first time walking the grounds. On the one hand, I liked the fact that it's all pretty close together. On the other hand, it's all pretty close together. So
really,
like, the crossings to get across, the rope bearers, they're not in sync yet. They're, yeah, not fired on.
They're
going
to need a couple days of
there was a
getting
lot,
yelled
a
at.
Lot of long waits.
Two long waits,
giant crowds amassing. And trying to get your bearings on, like, where are we going to post up to watch some golf? I think if you come to the country club, you got to go find a grandstand,
yes,
where you can see three or four things happening at once. That's going to be your best bet.
Yes. And what is special about this course is so many of the shots are blind.
Yep.
And what's hard as a spectator on this course is that it means you can't see a lot of the shots, including... Getting close to the greens is very difficult because they're
possible.
Isolated and there's mounds and there's rock outcroppings and there's fescue, which makes for a cool as fuck golf course, but not really a cool as fuck spectator experience, at least not yet. There's a couple holes, we'll spend a little more time tomorrow, but like 11, which is playing 122 yards today.
Yep.
Like, there's some interesting things that they're going to do with these shorter holes. That, I bet the fifth hole doesn't play as easily as it does going forward, because I think they've got some pin placements. At least it looked like they have some pin placements that will,
for sure,
be a little enticing, and some guys are gonna blow it into that fescue. But they do have some interesting choices in terms of how they're gonna set this course up. But with that wind blowing this afternoon, we just saw the easiest golf that they're gonna have.
It does seem like we can't, there is some weather in the forecast for tomorrow, some potential thunderstorms. I don't know how the forecast has changed over the course of today, but Friday was sort of circled as the afternoon possibly having some disruptive weather. But that will impact, obviously if there's thunderstorms,
yeah,
that'll impact how it plays. At least
we still got 40-50% chance of thunderstorms in the early afternoon, but doesn't look like we're going to get a deluge that's going to dramatically alter the course. It already is starting to look like that browned out, sheeny U.S. Open thing.
It's getting there. It's getting there already. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Lots of sights and sounds.
Yep.
We saw some good friends, from media and otherwise.
Yes, we did.
A lot of nice shout outs from the crowds.
Yes.
What was your favorite scene or thing that you saw today? Your favorite thing?
I loved the support for Rory.
It was awesome.
There was a fan who screamed out, "Thanks for being a leader."
Uh-huh.
And there was real energy pushing him forward. And listen, you and I both from the DMV, like, this course isn't Congo.
Right.
But when they put that stat up on the TV in the bar that he has not won a U.S. Open since 2011, I thought, God, this is as close as it comes. It's a city course. It's kind of close together. It feels like he's riding a wave at the moment. And he's going to be tough to beat. Really going to be tough to beat.
One of the stats we saw today, he continued his accuracy from 75 to 150.
Yes.
J-Ray popped that out. Still, you know, riding that heater a little bit. And for sure, it was the most buoyant crowds, the biggest energy, and really the hardest to navigate. And we kind of encountered it early in our day.
Yeah.
Was the Rory crowd. My favorite moment of the day was the 13th tee. We got to see a couple of guys that we might not have observed were friends, arm in arm, walking down after striking their tee balls. And it was, of course, the clown prince himself, Sergio Garcia, wearing these fucking clown glasses and an Adidas hat with giant three stripes. He looked like he was headed to live the club down in Miami, in his arm around Kevin Na, his great buddy Kevin Na, who are the arm in arm, you know, walking down the off of the tee box. And we could hear, we were within earshot of Sergio. Oh, what are we going to play? What are we going to, his fucking arm around him. The best buddies, Kevin Na and Sergio Garcia.
It was ridiculous. It was contrived. And it is symptomatic of what's going on right now. These guys are battening down the hatches. And whether they like it or not, they're in a little bit of a war. I think they're going to have some more soldiers joining them soon. But we can speculate about that later on as we continue to hear the buzz underneath. I think what I love sitting here, and we still got a couple holes to play, but just if you look at the leaderboard and the guys who are in the top 25, this feels like a test of golf for the best golfers in the world. The number is going to be, call it, if Hadwin doesn't choke it out here, you know, it's going to be 3, 4, 5 maybe, but all within striking distance. Rory, Fitzpatrick, who we got to take super seriously. He is playing really well, House. He's hitting like...
I just need to see some more major brain out of him, that's all.
I know, but he's hovering. Rahm, who was first off the tee, basically didn't do anything else well today. A kid stole his ball on 18, but he's still sitting
he
there.
He got a drop off of that.
He did. He did. He's still sitting there at 1 under. Morikawa, just a guy who got himself up to 3 under, but is still there at 1 under.
Really good.
Willie Z, who didn't seem to have his best stuff. He does seem to be transitioning from a boy to a man, the facial hair.
You said that, and I didn't. I when you first said that's really easy, I'm like, no, that guy has face hair. That's a grown man.
No.
I'm like, no, that's Willie Z.
No, it's a ferret with a goatee.
And it was Willie Z, but you know, for him, a ho-hum.
Yeah.
69, great, good job. That's our guy Z spot.
Didn't seem to do that much well, but I'll say he's 21st in putting right now, which tells you if he starts right. Our guy Max Homa is first on approach. He's like 100th in putting. So if Max can figure out those greens, we've seen this coming for a long time. We've been talking about Max as stepping up, making those, you know, he won again at, you know, in DC at Avenel.
Yeah.
He played the PGA pretty damn well. This is going to be the top 20 bet that we put out. I like at the moment.
I like it too.
I like it, especially with how he's striking this ball.
Take good care of our birdie buddies out there. Yeah, you know how we do.
JT's hanging in there at 1 under. DJ's there. I mean, like, this is a great leaderboard at the moment. There's nobody of the real serious favorites who seems to have flamed out in the way that, you know, wouldn't have been expected.
You don't treat Patrick Cantlay as a serious favorite.
I don't.
Nathan.
You have talked me out of it.
Okay.
He's 125th in approach. He's not playing good golf. Okay. It's a major. I expect?
Such
I think
a shock.
We might say that Cam Smith, who's sitting there with Scheffler at +2, but it's early days.
Yeah, both those guys can have rounds, go off tomorrow morning because they're on the afternoon shift today. Wake up tomorrow morning refreshed, and either one of them go a little bit low. Let me ask you right now, having watched what we watched today, seen the course and the condition that it's in, anticipating the weather that's going to play out, what would you say is your guess for the winning score for the week?
I think whatever the ending first round lead is.
Interesting. So right now it's Hadwin at 4 under.
Yeah. Let's say it finishes in the 3-4.
14 holes.
Yeah. Let's say it finishes in the 3-4-5. This course is only getting harder from here. The morning round was the easiest it's going to be.
Okay. I don't have any reason to argue with you. No, I was going to get, my guess would have been 5 under.
Yeah.
Like somebody in the way that
somebody's
going to
do it. Yeah.
You know, on Sunday at the PGA Championship went out and, you know, went 2 or 3, 4 under. That'll be, I'm not saying that JT shot 4 under.
It may be an even round that functions like that round.
That's right.
And that most, you know, the scoring average on Sunday might be +3, +4.
100%. 100%. Well, it was a great day today. We have a banner day lined up for tomorrow. The Podfather himself, the Boston native. Hopefully there's a little pep in his step.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We may not get him out of bed if the Warriors close it out tonight.
Well, let's not talk about that then.
Okay.
There we go. My birdie buddies, my par-saving pals, my eagle enthusiasts. We might be back tomorrow. We might come right back on this feed and give you a download on day two. Who knows? See how the day plays out. We'll see how the Trophy Club, the Victory Club, all the hospitality, the Amex Club, all the lounges play out for us. We are definitely going to be back Sunday night after the final round, but hopefully everybody's feeling good about the tickets. I think our guys are hanging in there. There's been some reasonable performances thus far, and I hope everybody out there managed to figure out a way to borrow some money from their neighbors to bet on Phil Mickelson to miss the cut at -310.
Let's go collect from Bill.